All right, well, thank you all for being here, and hope we gain something out of this. As I've said, this is a minority view, and that sometimes is good if it's scriptural. If it's scriptural, it's always good, okay, if it's dispensational. Previous lesson about the relief to the churches in Judea, poor saints in the little flock there in the Church of God at Jerusalem. We went through the verses, just naming them basically, naming the verses and brief comments of the different body of Christ churches that contributed to keep the saints in the church at Church of God at Jerusalem alive, keep them from starving. We're going to go through a little more detail on the verses this week, and this entire series of lessons should be four lessons. This is the second one, and most of the four lessons will be taken up with this about the relief, because it's basic. It does show some about leadership and about I think we get into the issue of women speaking in church and things like that in this, but it's the foundation for the other two or three parts. So we're going to start off here with the first account in the scriptures of the body of Christ, one of the body of Christ churches donating, relieving, sending relief, sending aid to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Acts 11:27 we'll start at. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Well, these prophets, those prophets back then, were prophecy program prophets, not body of Christ prophets. Verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, which signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And the verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Verse 30, which they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Those elders mentioned there in verse 30 were Israel's elders in the Church of God in Jerusalem, not the later body of Christ elders in the churches of the Gentiles. They were those Jewish elders. I think they are descended, derived from those that, what was it, Jethro, I think was his name, Moses' father-in-law that told him to divide the, you know, let the smaller pick out people to judge the smaller things, and the big deals would come to Moses then, things to decide. But those were Israel's. My mouse is not working. Excuse me a minute here. That was Israel's elders. So they sent this by the hand of Saul and Barnabas and Saul. And chapter 12, verse 25 finishes that event. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. Where'd they return to? By that time, they were people of Antioch, not people of Jerusalem, even though he was raised a Jew. Saul and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we got John Mark mentioned. Let's look over in Acts 14:21. This will be the second. That was the first one. That was from Antioch, sending relief to Jerusalem. This will be the second one. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that would be Derbe, or Derb, I guess it's Derbe. I don't know. I've never heard it pronounced authoritatively, but when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. So they preached in, let's see, this is just after, let me look that up. I think it's just after he was stoned, isn't it? Yeah, in verse 19, he's stoned. Verse 20, he rose up, it says. In verse 20, he rose up. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city, Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. That's where Paul had been stoned, in Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So we is Paul and who he's talking to there, that those cities that they preached in. And when the verse 23, whoops, hold on a minute, got a problem with the network. See if we can get this back here. Hold on, it's trying to come into usefulness. All right, I don't know if I have sound or not. Can you hear me? Any sound? Okay. All right, I'm gonna continue. I don't know where I lost it, but they had, Paul had been stoned, Saul had been stoned, and then came back to life, rose up, and it says when they went back through the cities that they had preached in before, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through much tribulation they would enter, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So, verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church. Now, we'll find out later, that's the Lord preparing to meet the needs in the church at Jerusalem. These elders, that we'll find out that's their function. But not yet. We don't find it out until we get to it. So, but that's in starting in Acts 20, verse 17. But we're going to continue here in Acts 14, reading, and had prayed. Let me start the verse again. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So this is talking about the area of Galatia. He went up through there, Lystra, Derbe. Well, I don't think Derbe is in it, Derbe. But I always get that seaport. I think Derbe may be part of it. Yeah, and Antioch of Pisidia. And when you look at the maps, it's in various places, because it's like the Midwest, you know, where's the border of it? You use the term Midwest. I was in the Midwest or left the Midwest or whatever. And it depends on the context, really. So, but let's go on to Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor. The same thing I also was forward to do. So remember the poor. The poor in Galatians 2:10 is their poor there, the poor in the church of God in Jerusalem. Remember the poor. There's there. That's where they were in that meeting between those who seemed to be pillars and Paul and Barnabas. So that's the second group of people, body of Christ, that sent aid or relief to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Thirdly, relief from Thessalonica in Macedonia, from there to Jerusalem. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Talking about support there. Be patient toward all men. Now, there's a note there. We'll get to it in a minute, but it's 1 Corinthians 8:11. But actually, the weak brothers, who are they? We've gone through that in other studies, who they are. But let's review it. Weak brothers were certain Church of God believers in the gospel of God that could be destroyed or perish if they did not endure to the end. They were meeting temporarily with the body of Christ believers, since they had all been abruptly removed from the synagogue. They had all been abruptly removed from the synagogue when the synagogue, apostate synagogue, found out that they believed the gospel of God. They were the believing Jews, the disciples. Let's look at the verses now. Romans 15, verse 14. Romans 15, verse 14. And, but if thy brother, talking about a brother, someone that's, well, that term is used both for those in the body of Christ and for those in Israel, believing the covenants. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, so you've got some people in the meeting there eating meat, pork, whatever, and some that are grieved about, why are you eating pork? We're not allowed to. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest thou not charitably. In other words, you're not caring about their feelings, their understanding. And he goes on, Paul goes on to say, destroy not him with meat for whom Christ died. Well, look at the other verse that's posted there, 1 Corinthians 8:11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for Christ, for whom Christ died. So those people, we've read about it before in Matthew, a couple places in Matthew, and it's in some of the other gospel, some of the other synoptic gospels. If they didn't endure to the end, they would not receive the salvation in the end. But that's not the situation for us. In the in the mystery of Christ, the teaching of the gospel that was revealed to Paul to tell us in Romans through Philemon, we are saved upon belief that the faith of Christ sent him to the cross to die for our sins. And what it bugs me when I hear people say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, because they left out the part that does save us. The death, burial, and resurrection is all in the Old Testament. What's not in the Old Testament is that we're saved by believing he died for my sins. He died for our sins. For our sins. Death, burial, and resurrection alone. If that's saved, everybody would be saved, whether they ever heard the gospel or believed it. But it's for our sins, and we must receive it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and verse 4, I believe it is, says to receive it, not just know it. So the body of Christ was to support the weak, the believing Jews, the disciples in Jerusalem. Okay, fourthly now, relief from Corinth, Achaia, to Jerusalem. Welcome to the room. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, we just read that a little bit back there. That was Acts 14:23 and Galatians 2:10. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That's pretty much a command, do ye. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, in other words, save up, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters. Now, before we go on, let's look at that statement, that phrase that he uses there. And when I come, this is verse 3, 1 Corinthians 16, 3. When I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters. I believe, now it doesn't say these words mean this, but I think what he's saying there is this is an early, it can be considered an early reference to the body of Christ elders, before they were even named elders. Whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Verse 4, and if it be that I go also, they shall go with me. In other words, he'll run the show. He'll that's not the right way to put it, but he would be in charge. He has the authority. So if Paul goes with them, he holds the authority. And if Paul does not go with them, he transfers to the elders the authority for that relief. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. We want to get to verse 14, but that phrase there, quit you like men, I've never heard a authoritative, I guess, definition of that or explanation. The way I think of it is, you know, quit. You quit. Let your final assessment be the way people look at you once you die, be that you acted manly, maturely. Quit you like men at the end of your life. You've been considered to have grown to maturity. That's the way I look at it. I don't know. Verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. That would solve a lot, wouldn't it, in interpersonal relations? Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it was it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The ministry of the saints. Where were the saints to whom Paul and the body of Christ churches were ministering? It was Jerusalem. All through here. We've read 1 Corinthians 16:3. Them will I send with your liberality to unto Jerusalem. So let's go on to verse 16 now. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So there is a that touches on leadership, doesn't it? The rest of us are to submit ourselves to those that help and labor, but help and labor with what? With that project to keep the saints alive in Jerusalem, in the Israel churches, the believing Israel churches, Church of God. It doesn't exist anymore. That problem doesn't exist because the Church of God in Jerusalem has vanished due to attrition. They stopped adding to it. They were only going to the true circumcision, which was already in that group, and as they died off, probably some of their kids would carry it on, but eventually it died out of attrition. The final assessment, the last that they're mentioned in the Bible, is not good. Titus 1:10. I don't have the exact reading in front of me, but that's the trouble he's talking about in that context. He says it's mainly of the circumcision, those of the circumcision. So, but here we see in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ that leadership was offered, and it was submitted to by the saints in the assembly. It was not grabbed by the person willing to lead in the ministering to the poor saints in the Church of God in Jerusalem. The verse 1 Corinthians 16:16 shows that the functioning of the elders has to do with the working, there's work involved, and with helping with the feeding of the poor saints in the Church of God in Jerusalem, while it existed. Not only do verses 15 to 18 encourage feeding the flock in Jerusalem, but they teach those believers to participate in giving to relieve the saints in Jerusalem. It's not here, it's in another part, but Acts 20:35 is the only account we've got of the Lord saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what this is teaching them. Verse 17, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. And we saw in the first lesson that lacking is talking about the supply of the needs of the Church of God in Jerusalem. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So that's pushing some that are servers, that are helpers, that are workers, pushing them to the front to be the leaders. And here we see again, the position of leadership was offered to those who lead. It was not church leadership, though, was it? This whole context, it was leading in a ministry, the ministry of financially relieving the Church of God in Jerusalem. So, okay, let's look at the fifth event or establishment of a pattern here to help the Church of God in Jerusalem. That would be from Corinth in Achaia. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. The best I could figure that means we make you to know. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Talking about Philippi and Thessalonica. Neapolis is in there too. I think it's mentioned at least once. But looking at First Thessalonians 5:14. We're going to continue in 2 Corinthians 8 here. Second verse, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, their giving, their liberality. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty, in other words, begging us, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. All talking about the same thing, just expressing who was charitable, I guess you could say, was giving a lot, was willing to give beyond their means. Fellowship is two-way. Fellowship is being partners in giving to the poor saints, in their case, the saints in the Church of God in Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Jump down to verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 8. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Verse 19, and not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace or this gift to the Church of God in Jerusalem. This grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. So it must have been a large gift, a large amount they were carrying. Verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Verse 22, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, and that's a necessity there. We'll find out later on the diligence that he's proved himself, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So there's a group sent. It's a wise thing to do with a large sum of money. 2 Corinthians 9:1, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Verse 6, But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And remember what they're collecting for, what they're giving, what the project is, to save those poor saints, keep them from starving in Jerusalem, having given all to sold all and brought the proceeds to the apostles' feet for it to be distributed as needed, and it all got distributed and the kingdom still hadn't come. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And I found three Old Testament verses that it shows the Lord taking care of the poor. Psalm 112, verse 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. Psalm 12, verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And this is Proverbs 5, verse 16. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. But nothing in those three verses even hints of the mystery that Christ revealed to Paul. So we're going to look at three more verses just in closing here. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10, 12, and 13. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Okay, well, that's brings us halfway through the entire study, and if you have questions, I hope they're resolved in the last two lessons. We'll try and hit the third one tomorrow.